Chapter 1. Why do educators need a pedagogy of play? In a U.S. preschool, four girls and their teacher are sitting around a table with a letter bingo game in the middle. As Lily takes a card with the letter S and a drawing of a snake from the pile, the following conversation unfolds. Lily: S. Snake. Ooh, I hate snakes. Emma: Me too. I hate bugs too. Ilana: Spiders start with S. That's a bug. Lily: Ew, spiders make me scream. Teacher: Let's keep playing, friends. Emma, taking another card from the pile: I got H for horse. I want a horse for Christmas. Abby: Duh, we all know this. Emma: Horses are my favorite animal. Teacher: Girls, please, more playing and less talking. This novice teacher is in a confusing situation. She wants to help children learn through play, hence a game rather than a worksheet. At the same time, she has specific government-mandated literacy goals to cover. Unsure how to proceed, and without the support of colleagues, she struggles to navigate the tension between reaching her learning goals and allowing the girls to lead their own learning, an essential part of playful learning. This situation contrasts with Firdis's classroom, featured in Debating the Nature of Facts. Firdis knows that play supports learning and uses play to serve her learning goals. Believing that a playful mindset is an essential ingredient in playful learning, she encourages students to take risks and use their imaginations, skillfully guiding them to lead their own learning toward the Grade 5 content learning goals. Firdis is part of a larger school culture that supports playful learning for adults as well as children. She has a pedagogy of play to guide her decisions about teaching and learning. This chapter begins with definitions of five key terms: play, playful, learning, playful learning, and culture. We then focus on our first question of why educators need a pedagogy of play and the six core principles that constitute our answer. Number 1, play supports learning. Number 2, playful learning in school involves play with a purpose. Number 3, paradoxes between play and school add complexity to teaching and learning. Number 4, playful learning is universal, yet shaped by culture. Number 5, playful mindsets are central to playful learning. And number 6, supportive school cultures enable playful learning to thrive. Key definitions: play, playful learning, playful learning, and culture all are complex terms that can be interpreted in multiple ways. Because they are central to conceptualizing a pedagogy of play, here we propose some working definitions. Play. There are many kinds of play: dramatic play, online play, play between people and their pets, the rough and tumble play of young mammals, and more. People from every corner of the earth play. Because of this diversity, play defies a precise definition. Indeed, play scholars have long debated the meaning of the word. At the same time, there is some consensus around what play involves. In broad terms, we see play in humans as chosen and directed by the players, and thus meaningful to them, involving the imagination, where players envision new possibilities and ask, what if? Play is actively engaging, so players can lose themselves in play. It is often social, generally enjoyable, although this does not mean easy, because challenge can create enjoyment. Although people seek novelty in play, play often has a repetitive or iterative quality, where players try out ideas and activities again and again until they feel satisfied with the results. Play is often understood as an activity, such as playing checkers or playing house, but it also involves a mindset, which leads us to the word playful. Playful. Playful refers to a mindset in which one is inclined to see situations and activities as containing possibilities for leading, exploring, and enjoying. A playful mindset is the active ingredient that turns activities and other experiences into play. But what is playful for one is not necessarily playful for all. For example, participating in a soccer game is the height of play for some. For others, it is terrifying. For some, sitting in front of a piano is playful. For others, practicing the piano is drudgery. The difference is whether the activity is experienced as playful. Learning. We believe learning entails the processes and outcomes involved in solving problems or creating products that are considered meaningful in a culture. Learning is not just the transmission of a defined body of knowledge. Rather, it is a consequence of thinking. For learning to occur, learners need to think about and with the content of what they are learning. A fundamentally social endeavor, learning is a complex process that needs sustained opportunities for support, challenge, and feedback from the outside. Learning is not only cognitive, it involves emotions. Based on her research, neuroscientist Mary Helen Immordino-Yang concludes, quote, "It is literally neurobiologically impossible to think deeply about things that you don't care about," end quote. Because a common sticking point in promoting playful learning is the comment, "Oh, I see they're playing, but what are they learning?" We discuss learning further in the show notes. Playful learning. Playful learning in schools, the subject of this book, occurs when the learning goals of adults and the interests and curiosities of students align. In these situations, learners are leading their own learning, exploring the unknown, and finding the joy of learning, though the specific terms for describing these feelings and behaviors vary based on the cultural context. Put another way, playful learning in school occurs when what students want to be doing is the same as what their teachers want them to be doing. Because the learners care, the result is often deep learning. By bringing together cognition and emotions and the physical and social dimensions of learning, playful learning is a powerful strategy for supporting learning in schools. However, play, and by extension, playful learning, does not mean that anything goes. In play, there are both literal and metaphorical rules of the game. In soccer, you cannot pick the ball up and run with it unless you want to be kicked out of the game. In dramatic play, if you are pretending to be the mother, you cannot start meowing like a cat, unless you want your friends to tell you to stop or switch roles. In writing a creative essay, you cannot abandon the rules of spelling and grammar unless lack of clarity is the point of your communication. Play sets up boundaries in which experimentation can take place. Playful learning does not indicate chaos, but rather adults and students deciding together about the direction of learning. Culture. Humans are social creatures. People operate in groups, families, unions, businesses, religious institutions, online communities, classrooms, and schools. We define culture as the shared values, practices, norms, and understandings of a group. These practices and understandings are based on what is important to a group and guide members on how to act and relate to one another. These groups can be large, operating at a national level, for example, Italian culture, or small, the size of a school or even an individual classroom. Throughout the book, we discuss how culture, the cultures of countries, schools, and classrooms, impacts playful learning, and how you can shape the culture of your classroom and school to promote playful learning. Like any definition, our definitions can only go so far in explaining the meanings of these terms. We hope the examples and explanations in the rest of the book will provide greater clarity. With these definitions in mind, we turn now to the 6 principles of playful learning that address why a pedagogy is needed to support playful learning in school. 6 principles of playful learning. Based on the research literature about learning and play, insights from educators and researchers around the globe, and conversations with teachers and school leaders in Denmark, South Africa, the United States, and Colombia, along with hours of debate among the Pedagogy of Play team, we developed the following 6 principles. The principles are theoretical rather than empirical, and they represent our answer to why a pedagogy of play is needed. Principle 1. Play supports learning. When people play, they are engaged, relaxed, and challenged, states of mind highly conducive to learning. Through play, children and adults try out ideas, test theories, experiment with symbol systems, better understand social relations, take risks, and reimagine the world. As they lead their play, players develop agency. Exploring the unknown, they cultivate their imaginations and learn to deal with uncertainty. Joyfully playing with others, they develop empathy. While not all learning has to be playful, nor does every moment of play involve significant learning, a close look at play and playfulness reveals numerous emotional, social, and cognitive features that powerfully aid learning. These features help make learning feel fun and enjoyable, and proceed in engaging and exploratory ways. The notion that play supports learning may come as a surprise to some. Play is sometimes seen as frivolous and lacking purpose, while learning is associated with seriousness and hard work. Yet there is solid and growing evidence regarding the importance of play in learning. In the next chapter, we take a detailed look at the theory and research about the relationship between play and learning and how play supports learning. Principle 2. Playful learning in school requires play with a purpose. Schools are places where young people learn to become contributing members of their communities. As you read, in Debating the Nature of Facts, Fierdes identifies clear learning goals for her students. From being able to understand and create informational texts, to thinking critically and creatively. The good news is that her students are not opposed to these learning goals. As you will read in all the pictures of practice, children want to learn. We have never met a 6-year-old who did not want to learn how to read, giving them entry into a world of words and books. We have never encountered a 16-year-old who was not curious about something, whether cars, computers, cosmetics, cartoons, or calculus. When students understand the purpose of school tasks and see that these tasks are meaningful, they are far more willing to engage in the hard work of learning. This does not diminish the challenge that educators face when supporting learning through play. Playful learning entails straying from a straight line between classroom activities and learning goals. Deep, significant learning does not always unfold in a linear fashion. Classrooms should be places of surprise for students and teachers. There should be room to pursue questions that arise, explore occasional rabbit holes, and learn in more than one way. Playful learning situates curricular goals, content, and experiences with a larger purpose of helping learners understand, explore, and shape their world. Playing with a purpose does not mean that child-directed free play has no place in schools. Such play offers windows into children's interests and strengths. It helps students form relationships and provides needed breaks from teacher-guided activities. Principle 3. Paradoxes between play and school add complexity to teaching and learning. The physicist Niels Bohr wisely noted, quote, "How wonderful that we have met a paradox. Now we have some hope of making progress." End quote. By paradox, Bohr meant two logical and sensible ideas that, when put together, seem contradictory or even absurd. Paradoxes cannot be solved or eliminated, but they can be navigated. As you attempt to foster playful learning, several paradoxes between the nature of play and the nature of school will arise. 1. Play is timeless. Players lose themselves in play. School, on the other hand, is timetabled. 2. Play can be chaotic, messy, and loud. Schools aspire to be places of order. 3. Play involves taking risks. Schools aim to keep children safe. Or 4. In play, children are in charge. At school, the agenda is generally set by adults. Both parts of each of these statements are true. Children should lose themselves in learning and follow predictable schedules that are reassuring to many and essential to some. Children's explorations should be a bit loud and messy, and sometimes students need quiet to focus. Children should explore and experiment and not get hurt. Children need to develop agency and learn important mathematical, scientific, and artistic concepts. Identifying these paradoxes is the first step in navigating them. They can then be turned from either-or choices into yes-and situations. Yes, it is possible to allow and encourage children to take risks and to keep them safe. It is possible for children to be in charge, to lead their learning, and to meet learning goals. As you navigate the paradoxes between play and school, it can be helpful to think about classroom experiences on a continuum regarding the level of adult involvement. At one end of the continuum is free play, involving little or no adult involvement. At the other end is adult-led activities, with little room for child choice. In the middle is guided play, where students can explore and direct their learning, while educators provide scaffolding and direction in service of learning goals. Determining the right amount of adult involvement in learning experiences, providing learners guidance and choice, is part of the art of supporting playful learning in schools. In Chapter 5, we suggest one way to organize study groups to help you and your colleagues experiment with your practice and navigate the paradoxes between play and school. Principle 4. Playful learning is universal, yet shaped by culture. People around the world play and can learn from their play. They play in cities and in the countryside. Even in harsh and difficult circumstances, people play. Play is universal. At the same time, whom people play with, how they play, where and when they play, and at what age they should stop playing, if ever, is culturally determined. The research volume, International Perspectives on Children's Play, catalogs some of the diverse expressions and meanings of play from around the globe and illustrates how play is shaped by culture. What is true for play is true for playful learning. Playful learning is universal. All humans can learn through play. And how, and even if, playful learning appears in classrooms and schools is shaped by culture. For example, our work illustrates that on the four continents where we conducted research, in different subject areas and across ages, playful learning takes place. This playful learning has similarities and variations across contexts. It is shaped by the goals, beliefs, and experiences of the teachers, school leaders, students, and families in school communities. This conclusion aligns with other research. Recent studies from Bangladesh, Colombia and Uganda, and Germany and Hong Kong confirms that playful learning occurs around the world and has unique cultural features. What this means for you and your colleagues is captured in a story from the International School of Billund, or ISB. When we began our research at ISB, we found a wide range of perspectives about the meaning of playful learning. Some of the educators believed playful learning meant free play. Others thought it meant games and game-like activities, while still others thought it meant playing with ideas. Without a shared understanding of what they were trying to promote, teachers' efforts were sometimes at cross purposes. We worked with the teachers to create a school-wide definition of playful learning. In order to plan for, implement, and assess, you too need to decide on what playful learning means in your context. In Chapter 3, we share our answer to what playful learning looks like and feels like based on our research in Denmark, South Africa, the United States, and Colombia. In Chapter 5, and in the Playful Learning Indicator Research Guide, in the toolbox, we discuss how you might create a shared, culturally relevant understanding of what playful learning looks and feels like at your school by drawing on our research and even conducting research of your own. Principle 5. Playful mindsets are central to playful learning. Mindsets. The attitudes and beliefs that influence how people approach situations are not fixed by personality. Rather, mindsets can be activated in different contexts and cultivated over time. Earlier in this chapter, we defined playful as a mindset that entails finding opportunities for leading, exploring, and enjoying in different contexts. Activating and cultivating playful mindsets, in which teachers and students view school as a place to lead learning, explore the unknown, and find joy in learning, is central to playful learning. In Debating the Nature of Facts, Tadiswa brings a playful mindset to learning about informational texts. Recall her comments that she is trying to create an animal that is something new, will stand out, will be a little different, will have that little touch. And that everything is fun about it. It's just really exciting. They are ours. What if the opposite was the case? What if Tadiswa had approached the challenge of creating and describing an animal as too hard or boring or simply an assignment to complete? It is unlikely the results would have been as creative, or that Tadiswa would have described the experience with as much joy. Firdis also brings a playful mindset to planning and facilitating the lesson on informational texts. She searches to find engaging ways for her students to explore informational texts by creating a new activity and exploring the unknown. When the Spider-Man debate arises, she follows her students' interests. Tadiswa and Firdis's playful mindsets are not a matter of chance. Playful mindsets are activated, or deadened, by how learning experiences are structured. In an experiment using 6 Lego bricks, participants were asked to make ducks, thinking of it as either work or play. When the experience was framed as work, the participants tried to make the right duck and found the situation stressful. When framed as play, participants enjoyed themselves. They made a greater variety of ducks and were interested in continuing to make ducks even after the experimenter said it was time to stop. A playful mindset had been activated. Mindsets can be cultivated over time. Recall that at the start of the school year, some students in Firdis's class were hesitant to take part in whole class discussions. Such hesitancy had been forgotten by the time the students were debating whether a fact had to be true. Over time, classroom and school culture can foster playful mindsets for students and teachers. The importance of school culture in promoting playful learning, and in particular, the need for a sense of trust and safety, is discussed in our sixth principle. Principle 6. Supportive school cultures enable playful learning to thrive. You may have had this experience visiting two schools in the same city. Despite being near each other and answering to the same government mandates, the two schools have very different feels. In one school, you are greeted by the receptionist with a smile and perhaps an offer of water. The classrooms are buzzing with purposeful activity. The children and teachers are smiling. When they are not in the halls or classrooms, which is often, school leaders sit down at round tables, engaging in lively conversations with staff, family members, and students. In the second school, the receptionist seems haggard, and after asking you to wait on an uncomfortable bench, forgets or maybe just ignores you. There is tension in the classrooms, with teachers talking sternly to students. School leaders spend most of their time in offices behind large desks, summoning staff to receive instructions. The feelings in the two schools are manifestations of what we defined above as culture. The shared values, practices, norms, and understandings that guide interactions in a group. Supportive school cultures are essential for playful learning to thrive. For adults and children alike, such cultures provide the sense of trust and safety needed to activate playful mindsets. For adults, a supportive school culture encourages risk-taking and professional growth, colleagues collaborating and challenging each other to experiment and be playful. This is also true for students. As Jody Krause, the teacher in the final picture of practice, explains, quote, "It is critical for children to trust school," end quote, in order for them to try, experiment, and be playful. This is particularly important for children for whom school has previously not been a place to be playful. For playful learning to thrive, these students need to feel that their ideas and identities are valued and that they can be their authentic selves. A school culture that values playful learning also provides students with a coherent experience as they move up the grades. Over time, students learn how play can support their learning. In the settings of each picture of practice, the administrators and teachers provide a safe space for children to be vulnerable, take risks, and share their feelings and thoughts. The educators at these schools recognize the importance of culture, know that changing culture takes time, and understand that once a healthy culture is in place, it must be tended to. A robust literature exists around creating strong school cultures of learning for adults and children. Chapter 5 describes how school leaders, principals, department heads, and teacher leaders can change and then maintain school cultures that create the conditions for playful learning. These six principles explain why educators need a comprehensive and collaborative approach to playful learning. Play supports learning, so play should have a role in schools. Because this principle is foundational to our approach to education, we look more closely at the relationship between play and learning in the next chapter. Yet, the implication that play supports learning extends beyond telling children to go play. It is more than a call for gamification, adding game-like properties into school activities, and more than an individual teacher adopting a few of the pedagogy of play practices. For playful learning to thrive, students and teachers need to be in playful mindsets. Playful mindsets are promoted by supportive classroom and school cultures. Such a culture is apparent in our second picture of practice, facilitating a student-composed schedule. It can be read as a case study of why a pedagogy of play is needed.